You're listening to The Pulse here on Vancouver Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM. And you can find all of our previous podcasts and interviews at thepulse.cooperadio.org or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm David Ball. On today's show, we went down to Strathcona Park, where a tent city has been established with at least 250 tents now. Now, the park board has caused controversy by suggesting a bylaw that would require the campers to remove their belongings every day in the morning before returning as part of regulations after neighborhood complaints. On Tuesday, residents of this park spoke out that homelessness requires social housing solutions for the long term, not simply regulation and restrictions on where homeless people live now. And they said that the promises of the city to offer housing to anyone who wants it have not been received by all, several of whom said they've never been offered housing. And we sat down in a corner with one of the camp's cooks and security officers, Christine Furman, and her two dogs. Here is our interview. And I should warn our listeners, there is some cursing in this interview. Happy to be here with you in Tent City. Tell me about who you are.
I'm Christine Furman. I've got two dogs also here with us. I cook in the kitchen. Every morning, I make everybody's breakfast and coffee.
So you cook every morning. What do you cook?
Usually oatmeal or omelets, or depends what kind of donations we get the day before or the night before that we're actually able to hang on to till the morning, because food goes fast here. Yeah, people come in and help themselves almost constantly. So usually if I plan a meal, then if I'm lucky, like, I'd probably have to camp out inside the kitchen to actually hold on to the stuff to make the meal in the morning. But I generally try to hold on to the stuff inside my own tent because nobody wants to brave the dogs for the food.
What made you decide that cooking was going to be one of your roles here?
Cooking and security, actually. But, took a security course when I was working for Atira, so I have the training, I just don't have the papers to prove it. And since I no longer have my job with Atira, then it's definitely been a fun, challenging time being homeless this time around.
So how many times have you been homeless before, and can you remember your first time?
Yes, vividly, actually, like it was yesterday. I remember vividly flagging my dad down the day that, just after getting introduced to gorilla pimping for the first time, I tried to flag my dad down to, when he drove by me and he just waved and kept going.
How old were you?
Young. Really young. I was still a minor. He thought I stole the liquor cabinet from his house the day my brother threw a house party when he went out of town. It was his girlfriend. He took his girlfriend to Costa Rica. Brought us back some really gaudy, like, sweatshirts in fluorescent orange and yellow. If anybody's ever going to Costa Rica, don't bring back your kids like gaudy sweatshirts that are like orange and yellow. That won't do anything for their popularity factor, to say the least.
So he accused you of stealing his liquor and you were out?
I was in the park being raped when his liquor cabinet got stolen. I told him that and he told me that I provoked it. So and I said, fine, you want me gone? I'm gone. I got tired of being told I provoked things.
So tell me, since then, how many times have you experienced homelessness?
Quite a few. After that, I got jobs as a live-in nanny to stay off the streets. So, but I would get fired quite often because the kids would start calling me mom. Because, their mom would, be all too happy to take the break, right?
Plus, you're really good at cooking, apparently.
I am very good at cooking. I didn't get this much personal insulation from being a bad cook, definitely.
So, since in your whole life, can you estimate how many times and how long total you have been homeless?
Let's see. My last stint of being housed, I was housed for almost 10 years in one spot. So I'm not really, I don't like moving too much. And I definitely considered the last building I was in my family.
Why did you have to leave?
I had just gotten over Giardia from the water, and these two dogs started a fire in my house because they were looking for the rotten meat that I took out of the fridge. Where does the meat go when it's not in the fridge? It goes on the stove, right? They didn't realize it was rotten, so that it goes out of the house. They don't realize these things. And when they gave me back my place after the last sprinkler was set off because I asked someone to leave my house, and they decided they didn't want to leave, so they set off my sprinkler. And, I had to stay somewhere else for like 3 months while they repaired my suite, which didn't take 3 months to do, and, they just wanted me to displace for 3 months. And to make sure I couldn't have guests, they put me on the third floor of the building, which is, for the mentally, it's for the people that are mentally, that need mental supervision 24/7. The second and third floor of the Lux is for people that are, need supervision constantly. So, they put me there and told me I couldn't have guests for 3 months. And,
That must have been felt very quite disempowering.
Oh, quite much so, yeah.
Is there anything you find you like about not being there? Is there anything that you found that is, gives you a little more dignity?
Sure. Yeah, now I can have guests, and I don't have people telling me, being like dictatorship over me or trying to play God in my life. Yeah, or it's a little less predominant anyway. Because I suppose the Parks Board's trying to do just that by trying to pass this bylaw, right? It's like, we don't need more people running around trying to play God in our lives. We really don't. It's not what's needed. What's needed is, like, actual housing instead of what they're offering us. Like, what they're offering us, like the SROs and the modular housing and stuff, that's not housing. That's a quick fix. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a fucking, on a, like, a gushing wound. That's not proper. That's not good at all. It's not going to fix anything.
What makes it feel short-term to you? Is it because it's modular? And
The modular housing, you sign a 3-year lease. 3 years is not, that's not permanent housing. 3 years, what happens after 3 years? What do they do then? Then what? They stop renting the space that they're renting, and they're just renting the space. They don't even own it. They're renting the space, and it's temporary. It's a quick fix. That's not housing. Housing is houses. Housing is like a building that says housing. Like why don't they give us condos or whatever? Like even the when they went to all the trouble of, like, you know, putting the policemen and the nurses into the what's that called? The Olympic Village. That's housing. What they're doing to us is not housing. They're getting adult babysitters and they want to give us adult babysitters and tell us that we're all mentally ill and that we need this and we need that and we need all these things, but why not just give us what we're asking for? Hell, give us the space and give us the space, the tools, and the supplies, and we'll build our own damn housing. We have enough skilled people in here to do that. We have enough skilled tradesmen and people in here that are fully capable of, like, hell, we have somebody in here that was like the fire code guy for, like, yeah, he walks around here and tells us what's wrong with what's wrong with everything, constantly.
And he lives here.
And he lives here.
So people are like taking on roles and looking out for each other, like the kitchen, security, fire.
Oh yeah, no, elders. Exactly. Yet when we started coming up at the point, people on the different teams or whatever, right? Like the security team, the fire team, the kitchen team. I suggested there be a female and male for each position because I didn't think that it would be fair to not have a female and male for every position.
So tell me about this park board proposal to have people move out during the day and come back, I guess, kind of like a homeless shelter. Well, how do you feel?
Yeah,
about that?
that's just going to make our lives more difficult. And telling us that we have to pack up and move every day, that's leaving the door open for the police to come in and steal our possessions once again every day. Like, how degrading and demoralizing is it to, and just kills your self-worth, it kills everything within you that makes you want to survive. You just want to give up.
And you've kind of, is it because you've kind of established a home, even if it's a tent, it's still like a place where you have your bed and everything set up?
Right. And
all your stuff's together?
Right, exactly. I don't have to pull it around all day. Like, I could be out looking for new work as opposed, well, or even going back to my job at Ops, because, yeah, I...
You worked at the overdose prevention site?
Yes, I worked there once a week, but it's a little hard to get there and to go to work if you're having to tote your everything you own around with you all day, every day, right? I can't really... yeah, as well as my dogs, right?
Are there folks here with naloxone training and have been doing any work on helping people out who overdose here?
Yes, I would have to say so because I live here, right? And I have naloxone training, sorry. I don't... there hasn't been too many ODs in the park, period, so thankfully. But I do believe that when they displace people from the tents, it is when you get the ODs. That's when you have people ODing and dying. Like,
why is that?
Well, like when they displaced all the people that were living out front of my building. My friend Carver died that day because there was nobody there to help him.
It would have been really stressful to lose your home, so that's probably going to want to make someone get a fix.
Right? Definitely make them want to go out and get high, for sure. And not worry about, you know, finding somebody to use with. But they displaced everybody, so where's he going to find somebody to use with? Like when I was homeless with my cat, he gave me his place at the Arco and gave me and my cat a place to stay.
I'm sorry. What does, like, your ideal home look like?
I guess a fenced yard with a puppy park in the back of it. Yeah, something for the dogs to play on and, like, you know. I mean, apparently her sisters and brothers are scaling 20-foot-high fences, so, and she lives to play fetch. I guess my ideal home would have a ball tosser, a ball chucker in the backyard so she can play fetch constantly.
And presumably a nice kitchen, too.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, no, I need a nice kitchen because I won't stop cooking. And I only cook when there's an audience, so there needs to be the space to entertain.
So what immediately do you want to see? I know the goal is 10,000 units of housing in the long term, but immediately, instead of the park board doing this new law of moving you every day, how would you like them to approach the camp?
Come do protocol and actually talk to us like we're people. How about you stop talk? How about you start talking to us like we're humans and stop lying about us? Because, like, telling everybody that we're dangerous and that we're, come talk to me in person. I'm here every morning in this tennis court cooking breakfast. I'm a human being and I interact with people like a human being. I'm not asking for any special treatment or I don't think anybody is. We're just asking to be treated like people instead of like animals. Cause what they're trying to put down on paper there is that we're animals and we're far from it. most of us come from the time when I was like with my family, it was a decent upbringing, right? For the most part. I mean, there's definitely hiccups or whatever, right? But and now my dad builds his dream houses for people on the Sunshine Coast, and he does a damn good job at it. Like, however, dealing with a rebellious daughter, I guess, wasn't his forte. But
maybe you'll get to build your dream house too,
right? That would be awesome. My dream house would be a lot for a lot more people than just me. No, and actually, I've had people come and offer me land out past the Boston Bar and told me that I could build a compound on there if I wanted to.
What's the best part about this place, about KT City?
Why do you call it KT City?
KT Tent City? Oh, they're just calling Kennedy Trudeau Tent City after the mayor.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
KT Tent City, eh?
What do you call it?
Kennedy Trudeau?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? Is that the mayor's name? Kennedy Trudeau?
Kennedy, and then the prime minister is Trudeau.
Oh, interesting.
What do you call it? Just Tent City?
Well, I figure it might be called Domestic City soon, but with the amount of fucking, altercations we have in here. Like, but then again, at least I get called to those, not the police, so.
As security.
Yeah.
People are looking out for each other.
Exactly.
But what do you like about this place the best, then?
The fact that the cops don't get called here. I think that's a great thing. We don't need their interaction. I can handle any problem like 20 different ways without having to call them. And they don't need us calling them to something that they really don't need to be here for. I mean, hell, even the fires, we get those under control before, the garden people just thanked us publicly, for being here, because we just saved one of their shed houses or whatever. The houses they keep their supplies and stuff in. Whereas like the year before it got burnt to the ground, we were here and it got salvaged. We were on it like lickety split. We respond well to emergencies. We're kind of I guess we're good at it now, or we've had a fair share of them, so we know how to take care of them. And we got it under control and taken care of before the fire department even showed up. So I suppose I think that speaks volumes for the way we. If we're so capable of like handling just the small day to day problems, so that we don't need other people handling our problems for us, shouldn't that speak volumes to the public, as opposed to like, you know, them thinking we're all dangerous and like, yeah, we're not animals, we're not dangerous. We're people just like everybody else. And some of us just have better problem solving skills than others. I think we should be recognized for our problem solving skills as opposed to our, you know, inherently dangerous. Really? Like, I can't believe somebody called us inherently dangerous. What does inherently actually mean? How blissful, really, can their ignorance be? Like, now they're being called out on it, like fucking on TV and stuff? Wow. I guess your ignorance isn't going to be so blissful for so long, eh? I'd like that person to come and join us in Tent City. Come do protocol here and see how really, really heinous and violent we really are. Or we really aren't, I should say, because that's a bunch of lies. Like, open their mind and open their... Come bring some open-mindedness to, like, Tent City, because, we're not lacking in it, like, being residents here. We're very creative. We're very open-minded. Unlike the people surrounding us, I guess, that are too close-minded to see, you know, past their own noses. I think they should maybe humble themselves. Eat some crow pie and come hang out for a minute. Hell, come by for oatmeal in the morning. Like, I got no problem serving them oatmeal.
Thank you so much for talking. I'm really, Kristen, I'm really glad that you took the time to talk to us on Co-op Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
And that was Kirstine Furman, a resident at the Tent City in Strathcona Park.